Chapter 15, Bedtime. The Goreski family was exhausted. Nate, 6, was still having daily temper tantrums, while Shauna, 3, still had not slept through the night. Everything started falling apart in the late afternoon. Nate's soccer practice and music lessons threw off mealtimes and bedtimes 3 nights a week, and Shauna had to go along. Nate often got so wound up by 5 o'clock that his parents, Stephen and Marcia, nicknamed him the Energizer Bunny. Shauna caught Nate's frenzy, and the two of them seemed to bounce off each other. By the time bedtime rolled around, threats were flying, tears were spilled, and no one was happy. Disrupted sleep kept emotions on edge all day. Marcia was worn to a frazzle. How is the behavior intended for success? Neither Shauna nor Nate chose to wind up and provoke their parents. Their systems were overloaded from overscheduled days, their father's erratic absences on business trips, inconsistent meals, a weary, frustrated, often angry mother, not to mention fears of monsters. Instead of winding down at bedtime, they wound up. Stephen and Marcia assumed they weren't tired enough for bed. To grab some alone time, they let the kids watch television, which caused more revving than calming. They didn't realize their children were beyond tired. It wasn't that they didn't want to sleep. They were dying to sleep. But their bodies had tension and energy that had to be released before calming down. Their parents had to see that the energy didn't build so high. What is the behavior signaling? Remember, behavior is the expression of external stimuli combined with internal emotions. In this case, Nate's already anxious nature met with an unpredictable environment. The expression of this was similar to a wind-up toy. Bedtime frenzy was worse after an evening school event or soccer game, especially if he lost. He had tantrums over the slightest injustice and took it out on Shauna. "And Shauna," Marcia rolled her eyes, "she's getting her master's in bedtime manipulation. You promised another book," or "I'm scared," or "I can't sleep." And then the pitter-patter of those damn feet down the stairs or into our bedroom in the middle of the night is enough to drive me insane. The children's behavior tried to tell their parents they were too agitated to flip the switch into sleep mode, but their parents were too exhausted themselves to pick up the clues. The dimmer switch needed to start going down much earlier. Is acceptance unconditional? According to Mary Sheedy Kersinka, author of Sleepless in America, 3 main triggers send children over the edge into problem sleep patterns. 1, how much tension is in their bodies from upset or excitement. 2, daily schedules or lack of routine. And 3, temperament, how much or how little each child is affected by external factors. With the Goreski children, all 3 areas were compromised. After working with the principals and understanding each of their children's temperaments, Marcia and Stephen realized they were not responding to their children's needs. Marcia saw Shauna's demands for back rubs as manipulative rather than a physical adjustment to help her relax. And Nate's wind-up toy behavior was met with angry attempts at control. Soft, reassuring voices were what he needed to downshift. Nate feared monsters hiding behind the closet doors and in his toy basket. "How many times do you tell a kid there's no such thing before they believe you?" Marcia asked before she realized she needed to acknowledge his fear. Shauna was afraid to be alone. Her cries were pleading for companionship. Sensitive temperaments can be an inconvenience for parents. Stephen and Marcia didn't see the need to change their agendas for their children. They expected them to accommodate to their unstructured lives. After all, what choice do they have? Unknowingly, they were not accepting who their children were. Are expectations set for success or failure? Marcia and Stephen wanted adult alone time, but that was their agenda. Shauna and Nate needed to wind down and wanted to put off bedtime as long as possible. That was their agenda. Children don't understand their body's needs for sleep. That's not their job. But they might not resist bedtime so much if their biological expectation is met. It helps to keep the perspective that co-sleeping is the norm for 90% of the world's population. A small child's physical expectation is to sleep with a warm body. Parents who choose not to co-sleep must make an effort to encourage children into comfortable, isolated sleep. Stephen and Marcia needn't give up their agendas, but expecting their children to agreeably go off to bed to sleep alone is unrealistic. When Stephen heard Shauna's balking, he would argue, yell, and eventually give in to lying down with her, inevitably falling asleep and setting up bad habits and patterns of manipulation. Tense, angry reprimands only increase agitation, making it nearly impossible for Shauna to acquiesce. A bedtime plan with a long, slow wind-down sets a realistic expectation that children need help settling down for a night alone. Is connection being made? Stephen and Marcia made a list of their bedtime strategies, and next to each wrote the words connect or disconnect. Understanding that disconnect strategies increase tension, they realized they had a ways to go to calm their children. Their connection strategies, cuddling, back rubs, and stories, occurred only occasionally. When Marcia began recognizing the signals of Nate's revving up behavior around 5 o'clock, her new perspective allowed her to communicate empathically and accept his problem instead of expecting self-control. Learning connective communication, she tried non-blaming comments like, "Nate, your energy is buzzing like a bee," or "It looks like your insides are spinning around," or "You're moving into fourth gear. What do you need to bring yourself back to second?" What qualities need focus in order to grow? Calm and peace were the words Stephen used to describe what he thought they all needed. Now that they understood the children weren't getting wound up on purpose, he and Marcia focused on the triggers that set them off. Nate's stress increased with too many or inconsistent plans. Shauna argued and demanded more after an afternoon of television. Focusing on calm, they looked for ways to create it. Often a swing on the gym set helped Shauna, but Nate revved up on the swing, leading to aggression toward Shauna. Nate, they discovered, needed physical contact. Lots of hugging, even wrestling, helped avert tantrums before dinner. As much as they thought soccer was a good energy release, Nate often sat out and games and practices were at inconsistent times. Soccer could come back in his life when he was older and his system could handle more. Violin lessons were once a week, same day, same time. Practice at home could be made consistent, too. It was clear which choice to make. Then Stephen and Marcia looked at themselves. They often argued in front of the kids, and morning squabbles were not infrequent, especially when sleep was Shauna disrupted. The only thing they agreed on these days was that both their children were unruly. They agreed to dissect their disagreements after the children were asleep. Stephen decided he could get home earlier to spend more time with the kids if he worked from home at night when he was in town. Just keeping their focus dialed on calm adjusted their expectations. But it was easy to snap back into automatic reactions. How can the problem be solved without punishment? As a family, they wrote a bedtime contract starting with dinner time. No TV after dinner made a huge difference. The kids argued this, so to gain cooperation, they agreed to try it for 1 month and marked a date on the calendar in red when they would reevaluate the decision. No one ever mentioned the reevaluation date. Dinner time through bedtime meant mommy and daddy time straight through. Cleanup waited. Stephen usually got home by 6 and worked again after 8:30. During nice weather, they were outdoors. Shauna could swing and Nate pushed sometimes. Often he had wrestling time with Dad. The physical contact helped Nate as long as Stephen stopped it early enough. Family read replaced television. And then a marching game to the tune of Knick Knack Paddywhack took them upstairs and became a nightly must. Stephen put Nate to bed for valuable talk time or boys read, while Marcia stayed with Shauna and read their photo bedtime book. Marcia photographed all of them in their bedtime routine, from family read to baths to teeth brushing to snuggling in bed with Mom and Dad. Each picture had a caption dictated and then memorized by Shauna. A happy picture of the whole family ended the album. When Shauna begged for more time, Marcia gave her the choice of listening to water music, children's songs, or the book she had recorded in her voice to play on her tape recorder. If Stephen was away, Nate read and waited for his mommy time after Marcia finished with Shauna. When Nate worried about invading monsters, they searched the room in the closet wielding Nerf bats. Then Marcia tucked his Nerf bat in beside him. Often they drew monster pictures and gave them names and funny faces. Then Marcia sat in the hallway until they fell asleep. It took about a month before the hallway vigil could end. After that, hallway sitting was random if someone was having a hard night. During the night, Shauna was given the choice of being walked back to her bed or sleeping on a doggy bed, purchased just for her, at the foot of her parents' bed. But the agreement was that if she kept them awake, she would lose her doggy privileges for that night. No miracle cures here, but the option of sleeping in her parents' room kept her asleep more often and out of their bed. Are strong boundaries keeping good balance? No one had set any boundaries. Empty threats and manipulation created power imbalances, and no one took responsibility for their own problems. Stephen and Marcia thought they were trapped in a bedtime nightmare. What they hadn't known was that simply giving more one-on-one attention from dinner on, sticking to a routine as often as possible, and taking everyone's needs and wishes into consideration were the basics of stopping the vicious cycles and climbing out of the trap. These were simple but hard patterns to change. There's always a trial and error period in changing old habits. Wanting the change and being willing to commit are the first steps. Often one parent is ready and the other's not. Stephen and Marcia had to take responsibility, put in the effort, and trust their children's desire for success. Once they held the perspective that the children were having problems settling down, instead of fighting for control, their attitudes could shift. They had a bedtime contract they could point to when an argument arose, and they could rewrite it as needs changed. It was Stephen and Marcia's responsibility for all to hold to it. The more it was expected that Nate and Shauna would argue and complain simply because they hated going to bed, not because they were obstinate and unruly, the calmer were their parents' reactions, and eventually the fewer were the arguments. Nate and Shauna needed a great deal of help before their bodies could relax and calm down. Evenings of predictable connection led to predictable bedtimes. Until this could be counted on, they kept exceptions to the routine at a minimum. They knew once patterns were set and the children were older, the routine could relax. When everyone in the family can trust that their needs will be met and their voices heard, they don't have to yell so loudly. It's sometimes a long road to get there, especially when we were not brought up with this kind of trust. But the reward is great, and family life is much easier. When we know that our children want to be successful and are not out to get us, and we're willing to support that success, they can be a joy to live with.